You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Ryan, Ken Holland likely just a State of the Union address tomorrow, or do you think there could be something else?
Well, that's not why he's talking. He's not talking because there's news or because something's going to happen. Now, that's not to say that nothing will happen between now and tomorrow, but I think it's just he hasn't talked in a while, and some media members requested him, and so the PR staff, given there's no players practicing or anything, decided to make Ken Holland available. So it's nothing newsworthy right at this moment, but there's certainly lots to ask him, right? We haven't talked to him in a little while, and lots going on with his team, and are you interested in Evander Kane would probably be one of the questions, and you know, see what else he has to say.
So obviously the big, you know, news that people are discussing after the Evander Kane clearing unconditional waivers is the idea of Evander Kane. Would you be in favor, assuming that, you know, they could arrive on a reasonable, you know, 1 year deal and he's wants to come here, would you be willing to bring a player like Evander Kane in both on and off the ice, probably stressed in the off ice more than on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, you want him on the ice. He's a good player. He's what the Oilers need. He skates well. He's physical. He's tough. He can score goals. He's a good top six forward, really good. So, you know, it allows you to move Nugent Hopkins to the middle, fixes your third line center situation. Like, in a lot of ways, he's what a lot of teams would need, but specifically for the Oilers, it would be a good fit. But there's a lot of baggage that comes with this player, guys. There's a lot that's been going on, and I think you need to be careful. If it's a contract where it was like not a tremendous amount of money that you could just, if things didn't go well, you just, you know, you bury them in the minors or you move on in some way, I think maybe that's a little bit more justifiable. But if there's as much interest as it sounds like there could be, and it's going to be a significant number, it's pretty risky. Might limit what you can do, you know, at the deadline. I think there's some pretty significant risk there. And that's not even mentioning the dynamic in the locker room. You know, the one thing I'll say about their locker room dynamic is, you know, Evander Kane wouldn't even be close to being the main guy in that room, right? Other places he's been pretty close to being the main guy. He won't even be in the hemisphere in this room. And I think that the Darnell Nurses and Leon Draisaitls and McDavid's of the world, Duncan Keith, could probably manage whatever situations arose. And so I think that the Oilers would probably feel confident in their leadership group to handle Evander Kane in that situation. But I'm not sure it's the right thing to do for the group because, you know, I mean, Greg, you know the situation in San Jose probably as well as anybody, just given, you know, I know you spent a lot of time watching that team, and I know you have a lot of respect for what he's able to do on the ice, but it was bad, it sounds like, behind the scenes. And I think you got to be real careful about that.
I'm not sold that he's going to get a multi-year term at big money.
Well, didn't his agent think it was just going to be a look-see deal to the end of the year?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. So that's why right now, because first of all the competitive teams, the only competitive teams who have any sort of money are the Rangers and the Predators. Those are the only ones who have any sort of real cap space right now. So if you sign Evander Kane on a 1 year deal, which is going to be prorated, because basically there's 55% of the season left if you look at days, and because this was a 200 day season, so there's basically 109 days left, I think, we figured it out. So you look at, there's 55% of the season left. You sign him for $1 million, it's really only $550,000. In actual, I know it's cap space, but in actual dollars to a team, it's $550,000. I'm not sure there's a lot of teams that are willing to go more than that just because, A, they don't have to, right? And it just comes down to, well, you know, this guy might offer you 1.1 or we'll offer you one. I don't see some team saying, you know, unless it's the Rangers or Predators who say, hey, we'll give you 2.5 on a prorated short-term deal. Like, the Rangers maybe would do it. Gerard Gallant's a pretty strong personality. He's a coach. Maybe, you know, they would do it. But then, you know, and Reeves, him and Reeves, you know, hey, lots of guys who've hated each other played together on teams that once they're teammates, they probably get along even better. Usually it happens sometimes. But I think Edmonton, to take the risk down the, I don't see much risk at all. Because if Evander Kane comes in and in a month, he's like, oh, he's a distraction. Well, you sign him to $1 million. You could just send him to the minors. Who cares? It's done. You don't have any extended pain.
Right. That's the idea that you can sign him to $1 million deal, that prorated $1 million, you know, $1 million contract. And if he would be willing to do that, I mean, you know, the headspace that he's likely in, he probably in a lot of ways kind of sees his NHL life sort of flashing before his eyes a little bit here. Like, you're only going to get so many chances, and he's had a number already. And the problem is that there are some things out there, right? There's some pretty serious stuff out there, you know, between he and his ex-wife. The due diligence you'd have to do to make sure that it doesn't get stopped in its tracks a month in because something has come up that you didn't foresee. I think you need to be really careful. And you're telling me the New York Rangers think that Manhattan would be a good idea for Evander Kane? That's going to be a good idea? Like, I don't know, bud. I don't know. Like,
well, those two investigations, though, right? Like, they looked into the two investigations. Because keep in mind, Evander Kane actually charged his wife with domestic abuse, and she charged him, and then both dropped them, and there was no investigation there. The NHL got gambling experts to look into it, and they couldn't find anything that said he gambled on any game. So was that a case of two people who literally hate each other so much that they were just throwing out things to try to damage the other one? You never know. But they did an investigation in both. And nothing
was
found.
He's playing games again, right? So he's been allowed to come back, and he's been playing games, and so obviously he's through some of that stuff that might be, you know, prohibitive to him being able to even get on the ice, right? He's through that. But I think just the history of, you know, creating some turmoil in the locker rooms that he's been in, you know, there were reports that in San Jose, they just didn't want the guy back. It was just that bad. I mean, that's saying a lot when he's literally basically the best player on their team. And they just, you know, by some reports and some reporting, people that are pretty close to that team, that they were just done with him. So what lessons have been learned? What, you know, and then now if I
can
think
I just jump in, Elliot Friedman, for a second?
Yeah, jump in, buddy, for sure.
Sorry, this is Ryan Reshaga. Let me give you a pointer. Two things. One, I think this would be a relationship for both sides. They're literally using each other, right? So Kane's using to build up his on-ice and off-ice credibility again, playing with some players with the opportunity to build that up. And the Oilers need a player in their top six on a deal where you don't have to cost anything to bring in, right? The second part is, how much damage can a player do in 4 to 6 months on a new team?
Well, I guess... I mean, listen, I got on a plane and I went down to Colorado Springs and I did a story on Sean Avery joining the Dallas Stars. Mm-hmm. And Dave Tippett was on that team. Dave Tippett was coaching that team.
Okay.
It was a disaster.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that Evander Kane is Sean Avery. That's not what I'm saying. I went to Prague and I'm not saying Evander Kane's going to do these things.
Yeah.
Evander Kane, or, you know... Sean Avery was, while Tippett had everybody gathered around the whiteboard, Sean Avery was skating around shooting pucks in the net. It was a disaster. And you had a leadership figure like Brendan Morrow on that team. You know, you had Marty Turco, you had Dave Tippett, who had been around a fair amount of time at that point. You know, but the GM had brought him in and signed him to a big deal. So it was a little bit different. The power setup and the power structure is a little bit different. But I guess he can do as much damage as you choose to let him. And if you pay him too much money, he can do financial damage and he can take away your ability to improve your team in a more meaningful way. So if you spend cap space on him and you have to pay a fair amount to get him, he can do damage that way. And then you got to decide when you've hit your limit. If it's late for meetings, if it's, you know, issues with honesty, I mean, these are all things that have been out there about this player. How far are you going to let it go as a group? I mean, you brought him in. How far do you let the standards lax? How quickly do you, you know, kind of enforce the rules and make it clear? Are you asking him to be something that he's just not? And when he's not going to be what you knew he wasn't, how hard are you going to have to hammer him for it? And how long is that going to take? So I think he can do damage. But the team is in control of that, right? It's a pretty strong leadership group in there. Like, Vander Kane you got Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid in that locker room and Darnell Nurse as the sheriff running things. It's a bit of a different environment for him than some other places he's been.
Yeah, and the other difference between him and Avery is you mentioned, I think, the key word. Avery goes into Dallas. He just signed the big deal. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm indestructible. Kane comes in on a team where he's signing a low-level deal that only runs till the end of the season, and he wants another deal where Avery was like, well, I've got my contract.
Sure.
And security can make people, in a completely different sort. But how many people you always say, oh, geez, I took the person in my life for granted, right? Yeah, you know what? Everything's good. And then so Avery was just felt invincible. Kane comes here. He won't feel invincible unless a team gives him a multi-year deal at big money. Otherwise, I think there's a lot of fear.
Yeah, and listen, you can't deny the fact that this sets up so that Evander Kane may be willing to give, the four best months of his hockey life, effort-wise, commitment-wise, all of those things, right? He may be poised to do that. Maybe this journey he's been on has been rough enough for him, and it's been enough that he understands what's at stake here and will give the Oilers four of the best months he's given anybody in years and years. And that's tempting. This is a heck of a good hockey player. Scores goals, hits, fights, fast, all of those things. He's everything this team needs. And he might be poised to give the best 4 months of his career, but it could go the other way. And it could look desperate, and it could mess with things that don't need to be messed with, and it could go sour too. There is risk in a move like this.
Now, they're not as good of players maybe overall, but I'm not sure that Logan Couture and Thomas Hertl and, well, then obviously Carlson and Burns or Norris trophies are pretty good, that, those are guys in San Jose. So I'm not sure that Edmonton's leadership is necessarily way stronger or better than the room he was just in.
Yeah, but he's going to be surrounded by guys that are way better than he is. Way better.
Well, the two forwards, sure.
When you're not the man on a team, I think it sets up a little bit differently. When you don't know in your head, you are the guy. And, I mean, Couture is a good player and has been a good player for a long time, but, he's got a couple of guys playing in front of him that he, needs to have a healthy respect for, that he's not going to come here and be the guy. And I think that's probably not a bad thing for Evander Kane, right? To look around him and realize, I'm not the critical piece here that I might have been other pieces. I'm a complimentary piece that sure is important and has value, but I'm not what this whole thing is about. And, it'd be interesting to hear the things that he has to say. I mean, you'd have to think he's going to be on some pretty good behavior here considering everything that's happened, but still, and I think, if you're Ken Holland, you absolutely have to check in with your leadership group on this. I think you got to check in with McDavid. You got to check in with Draisaitl. You got to have those conversations because you're not in the room, and get a feel for where these guys' heads are at on this move. I think you got to check in with these guys. I don't think the general manager needs to check on everything that he's going to do. I think you got to just manage the club and make your decisions. But on something like this that involves something as delicate as the locker room, I don't think you just rely on what the coach has to say. I think you talk to your leaders about this.
Well, we'll see what happens in the next few days. I think there's lots of teams interested, and we'll see who lands Evander Kane. I think he'll be back in the National Hockey League. Shawn, we'll see you at the press conference tomorrow. Have a good one.
Yeah, sounds good. See you guys.